you're someone that is interested in personal development, spirituality, and just, you know, trying to understand yourself better, then there's one place to start, and that's psychology. It's a quick place to start. It's backed up by science, and this backing up by science is important if you're someone that is very skeptical of, you know, things like magic and spirituality that is not always supported by the scientific community. So that's a great reason for you to get into psychology, to see that there's a process to the madness that is understanding yourself. There's a process to the madness that is personality. A lot of times, because we see ourselves as these unique snowflakes, which we are, we feel like we're often the only person in the world that sees the world the way we do. But we're not. There's definitely some order to the chaos. Like, the world that we've been created in is magical. It's absolutely magical. And magical is quite the word to explain this technology, because that's all it is. Nature is technology. But it is so magnificent and so high vibration that we don't always understand it. And for me, science is always a step behind. So even though we like to use it as a backup, it's not something to completely rely upon. Because imagine the things that science has proved now. If you were saying that thing, if you were saying the same thing that science has proven now 20 years ago, 50 years ago, decades and centuries ago, people will look at you crazy. So just because something hasn't been proven doesn't always, like, isn't the only measure of its correctness, or even besides correctness, of its truth. That's not to say that you should just believe everything. Always use your intuition. That is the ultimate guiding force. But yes, let's talk about starting with psychology. So you want to understand yourself better. You want to understand life better. You want to understand other people better. Why is it easier to start from psychology instead of, like, just jumping straight into the spiritual stuff? Because that's what this whole channel, this podcast, and my Instagram, Sage of Strength, it's all about, that spiritual, magical side. But I'm bringing psychology in here. And that's because it's a great first step to take, truly. Because magic is so wide and incredible. And especially when you're new on the journey, there are things that are just too much to handle. Like, you literally can't handle it because you're coming from a place of old conditioning. So whatever set of circumstances you've lived so far is your conditioning. The way society is also part of the conditioning, your family situation, part of the conditioning. So all these things are interacting. And if I just tell you all the wild things about spirituality, about quantum leaping, it might be hard. So we start with a place of, you know, facts and figures and all of that. Let me also talk about a few, well, just two really, arguments that people have made against the psychology of personality, because that's what we really want to get into the meat of here, understanding yourself. And it's hard to understand yourself when you've not really sat down to think about how you view the world. This is an important part. Earlier episodes of this podcast talks about awareness, and psychology is one of those things that help you with awareness. It helps you realize that you are an entire human being, you're an entire person on your own, and you see, like, you view the world with only your eyes. And what psychology and what personality types, which is what we'll be talking about, different personality types and how you can use that for yourself, what it really points to is showing you that lens that you use, so that you're more aware of when you're using that lens, and you are able to also recognize that other people around you are also using their specific lenses. So with that in mind, let's go into arguments about personality. The first argument against personality typing and personality blueprints is that people say, well, it's not 100% accurate. To those people, I say, duh. It's not supposed to be 100% accurate. It is a blueprint. It is a guide. And people also have this issue with the more esoteric ways of typing people, which would be things such as astrology and the zodiac or human design. Like, people have it in for these different blueprints, both the psychological and the more esoteric ones. They have it in for it because they want things to be 100% accurate. But that's literally impossible. Why? Well, the creator that has created us all has given us free will. This means that people are very dynamic. This means that people can change. This means that people are dynamic. They can change. What do they have to do to change? They have to choose it, right? So you can't expect that, you know, somebody so dynamic as a human being is literally just going to stick into this little box that you've put for it. Is that box helpful in understanding where you might currently be, or the strongest parts of your core, like of your mental, physical, and spiritual core, are they helpful in that? Certainly, but it's not a box to stay inside. It's a box to recognize where you are and then go on your journey of evolution, because that's what personal development and a spiritual awakening and being conscious and self-awareness is all about, right? It's just recognizing, who am I, where am I, what's happening? And then going forward with that, like, life is going to be life. These things are not here to just, you know, give you directions on what you should always do and how you should always be. So whenever people, like, you know, stick to certain bad behaviors and they say, oh yeah, no, I'm a this type in MBTI psychology. Oh, I'm a this is my zodiac sign. It's bullshit. Truly, it's just bullshit, because those things are meant for you to recognize, that's all, and keep moving forward. Life is a journey, so you're always moving. That's why they say it's not about the destination, is about the journey itself. So you can't keep moving on the journey if you're not aware of yourself, if you're not aware of the journey. So that's what I have to say about that. And then next issue with most of these personality types and esoteric types, although in today's episode we'll only be talking about the psychology types, because this is very beginner friendly. This is, you know, a good introduction to people that are new to this, and also a good reminder for people that have been in the game for a while. Next thing is that there are fanatics in this life. You know, fanatics put you off real quick. Any person that is fanatical or dogmatic about certain things, it's a put off to anyone that is healthy, honestly. Anybody that has some iota of common sense is going to just be like, oh, shut up. At least that's my reaction. Because the reason these people are this way is that they're focused more on the tool than everything else. And the same thing goes for religion, right? You're more focused on the tool than the journey and the experience of God and life itself. That's why people come in clash with each other. These things are just tools, guys. Do not put them on the same level with God, your creator. Like, it no go balance, right? It won't balance. Like, we are directly from source, and all the ways in which we are is a manifestation of this source. Like, you're supposed to be the way you're supposed to be, and you're supposed to learn and grow and have a good life. I'm not saying bad things won't happen, but like, life is ultimately supposed to be good. So when you focus on what everybody is doing and what you're doing, rather than how you're being, rather than how you're reconnecting to the source that you are and like living the life that source wants you to live, which is ultimately your best life, then you've gotten off track. You've gotten off track. So don't pay attention to fanatics. That's the main gist of what I'm saying here. let's go back into talking about psychology and personality types. Today, I want to quickly introduce three basic personality types. And I say introduce, but really, that's not the word. It's more of a quick overview of these types, because this is... it's a lot. Personality psychology is a whole lot. And I was first introduced into this in university. And it's so interesting. I've always been into this shit. That's why, like, what I do in my life is very beautiful, because I see how it's just always been in the plan. For me to learn these things and be interested in them so that I can share them with other people who are on the same journey. So, quick overview of three different types, which will be MBTI, that's Myers-Briggs Personality Type Index, temperament, and also DISC. So there are actually a lot more, but I think these ones are very helpful for most people. So one thing to know about the journey of getting into personality psychology and personality typing is that you truly begin to see yourself and understand yourself. And when you begin to notice your patterns, you also begin to notice the patterns of other people. And a very important way to see this is an awareness of self is an awareness of others. So self-awareness will always lead to other awareness. And there's a quote that I love, which I think puts this very succinctly. And that's, your perception of me is a reflection of you. And my reaction to you is an awareness of me. So it's almost like a loop. It's like a spiral, you see, because you can only see somebody else the way you see yourself. And the way you react to another person is an awareness of your own self. So it really is, I don't know how to put it. I want to say loop. I want to say spiral. Like, it's always going to radiate. It's a big ball of chakra just burning and doing its thing. And I think it's absolutely magnificent, the power that this brings. So know that your journey of personal development, your spiritual awakening, your trying to pay attention to being self-aware, this journey is not for naught. You are not going to regret it when you continue on the path. This is something good and beautiful that you're doing for yourself. And the beauty of it is that even though you're just doing it for yourself, it ends up being a blessing to everybody. Right? Energy will always interact with other energy. So when your energy is in a place of curiosity and love and understanding and giving yourself grace for the person you are, the same thing applies to other people outside. You begin to be curious about other people and try to learn about them and understand them and show them love. So really, really beautiful stuff. So since we've gotten that out of the way, let's move into the overview of these types. Let's move into an overview of these different personality types. Now, earlier on in the episode, I listed three different types: MBTI, temperament, and DISC. But before even that, those ones, they sound like, yeah, you're already interested in psychology, yeah, you're already interested in this thing, you know things about them. But even before we go into that, what's the basic personality type test that we're most aware of? Introversion and extroversion. This is Carl Jung's theory. It's a very apt bedrock to see things in a very simple way. So the other personality types we'll go through are a bit more complicated. And I don't mean complicated in the sense that it's too difficult to understand, but there are more factors involved. For most of us, when you say introvert, extrovert, you already know what I'm talking about. Are you a more of an inward, withdrawn, or quiet person? These are stereotypes most of the time, but these stereotypes often hold true. And that's what I was saying earlier on about people saying, oh, these things are not 100% accurate. Like, so being an introvert doesn't mean that you're shy. You might be a very confident person, but you don't necessarily put that out there the way an extrovert would. So getting back to the point, introversion and extroversion are very good ways to just base, or rather see the way you are as a person. This is like the simplest way to get into personality types, being able to identify introversion and extroversion, because that is how you see situations and react to situations inwardly or outwardly. And even with introversion and extroversion, there's a sweet spot in the middle. And I say sweet spot because that's what my personality is in this regard, even though sometimes I fluctuate. But it's that very fluctuation that leads me to believe I'm in the middle. I get to have the best of both worlds, is how I see it. So you might be an ambivert like me. You're just in the middle. Sometimes you're extroverted, sometimes you're introverted. And if you're a woman, that might be another reason to add to all the ups and downs, because you're going through a monthly cycle that, you know, your hormones are changing and you're changing. So we all know that. So let's move into MBTI, which considers more factors. So MBTI is the same as that, is how does this person see the world? And since they are seeing the world, that means there's going to be an interaction with it. So how do they see the world, and when they interact with it, what is their reaction? And the way MBTI does this is that it gives four different preference pairs. So you might be extroverted or introverted. And what this particular MBTI pair, what this first part of the MBTI pair talks about is basically opposite ways to receive energy and also to put out energy. And then after that, since we've talked about introversion and the extroversion already, the next MBTI pair talks about the opposite ways that people take information. Like when information is presented to you through any form, how do you take it in? And for that pair, there's sensing on one hand and then intuition on the other hand. So moving on to the third pair, which is opposite ways that you make your conclusions. Basically, how you make decisions and how you arrive at the conclusion that made you so adamant on taking that decision. And the way this is measured is through thinking or feeling. And then lastly, the fourth preference pair is judging and perceiving, which are different ways, opposite ways you interact and approach the outside world. So that's why I started with just introversion and extroversion, because this might be a lot to take in. And keep in mind, I said this is simply an overview. If I were to do an actual episode, I could do an hour just on like one preference pair. So this is going to be a lot. It's going to be too much information to cover in one short episode, which is why I chose to do overviews. And I'm also doing this trusting that you go ahead to do your own research, and not just do research. After you've done your preliminary research, you can go ahead and take the test. That's the whole purpose of it. Like, I'm telling you about this so that you can go ahead and take the test and see how true it is for you, and you know, go from there. So let's break it down quickly. Opposite ways to direct and receive energy. Are you giving it out or in with extroversion and introversion? Opposite ways that you take in information of any form, whether that's people talking to you, whether you watch something or listening to it. Is it sensing or is it intuition? That's to say, when it comes to sensing. Are you more of someone who wants facts and like concrete figures and details, or are you the type of person which is the intuitive type that is more about the general idea of it, the concept of it? Like, where does your mind and your heart first go to when you hear whatever concept is being spoken about? And then the next one being thinking or feeling. This is more about, are you using logic to make decisions? Like, are you using reason and are you being mathematical or calculative about it? Or are you the type of person that, you know, you follow your heart, you follow your emotions? So those are the opposite pairs. And then for the last pair, which is judging and perceiving, are you someone who is the judging type who wants structure, basically? You want everything like organized and planned? Or are you more of the perceiving type who, where you're more of a sort of water element? It's like, how does this make me feel? Do I want to go with this, or do I feel like I don't want to go with this? It's not necessarily about the facts, it's just spontaneous and impulsive in a way. These different aspects are put into different combinations and you get 16 different personality types, and they're all based on these four things. So you'll have four letters to each one: ENTP, INTJ, ENFJ, ISTP, all these different things. And you get to really understand yourself in all these different aspects. And it's also really fun when you do the test and you see, oh, okay, I can see how I do this. I can see how I sense things this way. And when you go to do the test, you literally just Google MBTI test. You see different places to get it done. Some are free and some are paid. So you can go for whichever is at your disposal. And when you begin to do this, you can even get things like, oh, what kind of jobs would be best for you? Or how do you react in romantic situations? Or what would you be like in the workplace? So things like this are is very fun when you start getting into it, honestly. That's all I can say. It's very interesting. And you can even find like skits on YouTube about your distinct personality type. And it's so interesting seeing how we're all so unique, but we're all still in somewhat the same box. So that's a little bit about MBTI, and then moving on to temperaments. So temperaments are very weird. it's not actually weird, but doing research about its origins was kind of strange to me. Basically, there was this Greek physician who had a physiological theory that there are different bodily fluids you have more of, like depending on the person, there are four different type of body fluids that you have more of, and that determines that shows the strongest personality you have. Because keep in mind, all of these personality tests, like when you do the MBTI test, if for instance you're an ENTP, you might be an ENTP, but you will still have the characteristics of other types. This goes back to what I was saying earlier about it not being 100% accurate, because you're so dynamic, right? So it never boxes you in. But yes, back to this theory of his. I believe the physician's name was Galen. That's Galen, if you're looking to do more research on that. And anyway, for these different bodily fluids, he said there's blood, there's bile, black bile and yellow bile, and then there's phlegm. So the predominant fluid you have will show which predominant personality you have. And for the temperaments, there are four different temperaments, like I said, according to these different fluids. And I don't know why I'm bringing that up as if it's so important. I just find it really interesting. But anyway, there are four temperaments. There is the sanguine, the phlegmatic, the melancholic, and the choleric. They're almost like elements in a type of way. But the sanguine type is more of a warm-hearted person that is excited and mostly happy, while the phlegmatic personality is someone that is a little more chill. You know, they're not really there for anything other than being chill, and there's a kind of, you know, slowness and steadiness, whereas the melancholic personality is more of a sadder personality. It doesn't really mean sad in like a bad way where you're depressed, but more like there's a coolness and earthiness to you. It's a bit detached and in its own world. It doesn't have that warmth or extreme pleasantness that the sanguine has. And then lastly, the choleric. The choleric is very hot and fiery and also quickly reacting. So we can see just how in MBTI, the pairs were mostly opposite. It's the same way here and in most other personality types as well. So it's very interesting. And just as with the Myers-Briggs, where you're a mix of these different elements, you're mostly a mix here. So I remember when I first took this temperament test, I was in secondary school. It was a book actually that I had read. I believe it's by Tim LaHaye and one other author. Oh, I can't remember, but I'll try to put it in the notes. So yeah, when I first did it, I was a choleric sanguine. And then after a few years, I found out that I wasn't choleric at all. It wasn't my dominant personality. My dominant personality became melancholic sanguine. So even though I had like that kind of sadness and coolness to me, I was also still like warm in a sort of way. And I even forgot to mention, for MBTI, when I first took the MBTI test, which I believe is sometime in 2015 or 2016, when I first took it, I was an ENTP, but I took the test again about 2 years ago, and I was an INTJ, and at no point was it wrong. When I first took the test for that ENTP, it fit so well. I was like, damn, these niggas got me. And when I took the test again a few years back, and I saw I was an INTJ, I was like, damn, these niggas got me. So this is what, again, the dynamicness of us. I don't know if dynamicness is a word, but there you have it. Like, the way we're so dynamic and made for evolution. This is it. This is really it, guys. And I know that I keep on hammering on it, but it's something that you have to truly understand. You're not meant to be the same. Even though you are technically the same person, you're always changing. Accept that change. That is a part of growth. Then lastly, let's go to DISC. I added DISC to this list because honestly, I could have left it at just MBTI, but I wanted to add temperament and DISC just so that you have other options if you are new to personality types, or if you're just looking for other things to explore. And for DISC, it's the same as the previous two. It's really just about what tendencies you have in responding to the environment that you're in. And the DISC, it measures four things, basically. And it's typified as D and I and S and C. So the D is dominance, and this type is like very bold and fiery, but they're also sort of skeptical in a way. Like, they're that type that wants to see facts, wants to see figures. You can't just sway them and expect them to follow their emotions. They're going to, you know, look for these harder, more concrete and tangible things in whatever reaction they're giving. And then the I is for influence. And this type is also bold and fiery, but they also have a solidness, a warmth that is able to accept things. So they are usually more people-oriented. in opposition to the D, the dominant type, which is just like, nah, this is how it is. This type is more, it's more okay with things being just as they are. Things don't necessarily have to go their way or be structured for them to, like, go ahead with it. Then for S, this is steadiness. And the steady type is very accepting of things and situations, but they're also cautious. So even though they are calm and patient, they can also be sort of calculative and not liking things that just jump out of the blue and introduce change to a situation that was being handled with ease. And then the last type, which is C, is conscientious. And this type is cautious like the S type, but they're also skeptical. So they're less willing to, like, stay calm and help others and, you know, be more empathizing. They want the, they have the sort of ideal of the D type where it's like, no, I want to see the facts, I want to see the figures. So it's a mix of those things. And if you've been paying attention to any of these types I've mentioned so far, you can see how it integrates everything. So learning about personality type really is just seeing your basic, predominant, and ideal traits, learning about them, seeing and understanding why you work that way, and how you can use that for your own benefit, how you can use that to see which parts of you are unhealthy, and you can then begin to adjust that. Because you can't become healthy if you're not aware that you're unhealthy in the first place. That's the reason we get into personal development. That's the reason we get into spirituality. We know that we are more. We know that that potential is there and we want to explore it. But you can't explore it if you're not conscious of it. So it goes round and round in the circle. It's just very, very, very interesting stuff. And I hope as you go on this journey of self-discovery and psychology and personality typing, I hope you have fun. Truly, like, if you don't get anything from this entire podcast, have fun with personality. Like, literally, if you don't get anything, get this. Hop on Google, check for a personality type test and see what that tells you about yourself. Like, if not anything else, just do that. And I promise you, it will take you a long way. If you are truly on this journey, it will take you a very long way. And it will also take you to places you never thought you'd be. Like, here I am doing a podcast about magic and spirituality. I didn't know I'd be here. I didn't know that I'd be into magic so much and I'd be having a space to teach people about it and to let people share their experience of it and to read tarot and do all these things. It's so crazy. But I love it, and I love that you're here. I love that you're listening to this episode, and I love that you've started this journey, because let me tell you what, it's worth it. Remember, your perception of me is a reflection of you, and my reaction to you is an awareness of me. I hope that the awareness you find leads you to the place you want to be, the place you need to be, and the place that is your most magnificent life. Have a good one, guys. Bye.